Happy Friday, Tappers. It is another edition of Daily Tap. It is Friday, February 9th, coming to you live very late at night on Friday morning. So, or very early, I guess, however you want to call it. So basically, a little behind the scenes action. I usually do this podcast anywhere from 10:30 to 11:30 at night before. And I let the girlfriend go home, or she went home, battled the snow before it got real bad. It's coming down in droves right now as I look out my window. And I fell asleep for about an hour and a half, 2 hours and a half. And thankfully, I got an opportunity that I'm just in the apartment by myself, which is great. And I get to sort of do this still, because I don't know. It's just an opportune time. I don't know if a lot of people will hear me. I hope not. So, yes, it is 1:45 right now. I have to get up in about 4 hours to go work out, go trek to the gym. So we'll see. It could be a very interesting day, interesting Friday with all the snow going on. Definitely a lot to talk about with the trade deadline that happened yesterday. Bucks not making really any moves. What happened from a NBA perspective, if the landscape has changed at all? It definitely has, I think, in the East, and especially with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Fake tough guy, we're going to squeeze that in. And then how to cope without football this weekend. I think it is a very good weekend, so I don't think you should be too worried about it being a lame weekend. So all of that there. Let me tell you, though, before we get started, you can find us, SnowTapWI, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. What are you doing? Why haven't you followed us yet? Let me know if you're following us. Give me a kind of a shout. I would love to hear it. And subscribe to us on iTunes and Google Play. Like I said, Spotify, Art19 coming hopefully this weekend. Hopefully I get a little time to hollow that out and figure that out. And yeah, let's get into it. The Milwaukee Bucks decided to not make any moves on Thursday. They stood pat with what the team they had, that John Horst was comfortable with the guys that he has on this roster. Now, the Bucks have, in recent weeks, needed some more guard help with the injuries to Matthew Dellavedova as well as Malcolm Brogdon. But the Bucks did not decide to make a move for a guard, did not make a move for shooting, and they are rolling with the roster they have, which is perfectly okay. I think the Bucks didn't want to overpay. The Bucks knew they did not have a second-round pick to give up. They didn't want to give up their first-round pick and be really screwed for next year's draft, which promises to be a pretty good draft as is. Didn't make a move, and that's perfectly okay. I don't think we should be critical of Milwaukee for not stepping out and making a move. I think if you want to say maybe one that you may raise an eyebrow to is like, would you rather have Tyler Zeller for a second-round pick, or would you rather have Elfrid Payton for that same second-round pick? It's a great question, because I don't know if Orlando would have done the deal that Brooklyn did for Elfrid Payton, but you know, it's definitely worth pondering. It's worth wondering about. And Zeller has some good size, but he didn't necessarily, I think, endear himself to Bucks fans in this first game against New York. We'll see after a few days of practicing with the guys if he kind of gets comfortable and how he plays this weekend in the Florida stretch. But the Bucks, you know, didn't decide that this was a needed thing, and I'm not gonna roast them over it. I think if you want to be mad at them, fine, but I don't necessarily think that this was an end all be all to make a move. Jabari Parker is going to be probably starting again in 3 weeks. I think after the All-Star break, it's probably going to be Jabari time to start. Then, so you don't really know how this team looks. And I think there's a conversation about whether you trade Chris Middleton, but that trading Chris Middleton is not something you should do in the middle of the season. That's an off-season conversation before you're signing Jabari Parker and looking at what's the perfect makeup of this team. I'm okay with the Bucks sort of staying put and then looking at this team next year from a broader perspective, looking at a guy like Middleton, maybe looking at some other guys who have major contracts like Dele and Henson and Mirza Teletovic. I nearly said Mirza Teletovic. I would not do that to you guys. I promise. I would not do that to my guy Mirza. I think you have to look at those sort of things and see exactly what your next move is. And the move right now is for the Bucks to stay put. If a buyout happens, like a Joe Johnson, I think that's worth pursuing. I think the Bucks will pursue buyout candidates. Thank God it won't be Derrick Rose. I think if Jason Kidd was still on this, or still this coach, may have pushed for Rose. And that's a very scary thought, because the Bucks did want to sign Rose. They didn't do it. Thank God he's completely washed up. And I can't believe that Tom Thibodeau is going to give him another chance in Minnesota. It is a terrible idea. I really hope ownership's kind of like, hey, Tibbs, like, I know you want to create the Timber Bulls, which is, by the way, one of the lamer jokes on Twitter yesterday. Leveland was number one on that. We're not doing that. You are not going to bring in Derrick Rose. You just cannot do that to this team chemistry. Don't even think about it. But maybe, I don't know, maybe Tibbs is like, I can get this guy back to where he used to be. He can be a vital asset off our bench, and I can work with him and make him back to Derrick Rose, MVP Derrick Rose. I'm sure that's what Tibbs is saying. I'm sure that's what Tibbs is going through. But thank God the Bucks aren't involved in any of that. That is a lovely, lovely thing. So, yes, I look at a Joe Johnson type. I look at any buyout candidate that ends up that can shoot the three and has some playoff experience, because that could really help Milwaukee in the long run and get another scorer off that bench, and a guy who, as we talked about, I think on Tabbing the Keg a couple of days ago, you know, just a guy who can score 12 points out of kind of nowhere and add that value, just like Jason Terry has done a couple times since Prunty's took over. So Bucks get started again on Friday. We'll talk about that in the What to Watch this weekend, so look forward to that. All right, so the trade deadline definitely affected the Cleveland Cavaliers and what the Cavs are doing for the rest of the season. They do push their chips all in with a brand new basketball team. It was amazing to see GM LeBron basically say, I fucking hate everybody, and we're going to trade for everybody, and we're going to make one more run at this. I may leave, but you know what? F it. We're going to go do this. And I think even though Cleveland pulled everything in and they gave up their Brooklyn pick, I really think they were smart about doing this, because they have sort of set themselves up that post LeBron they could maybe sign a mid-level guy, honestly a Chris Middleton type, if he were to be traded, a guy who could provide sort of this veteran leadership. And then they have this young nucleus around them. And yes, they probably should go after a first round pick back to try to start developing, start building a team back up should LeBron leave. But they basically made this team younger, and it's going to take some time for, I think, everybody to get to know each other, to gel. But we will look at that, I think, as the weeks go on. So they add Rodney Hood. So they add Jordan Clarkson, Larry Nance, Rodney Hood, George Hill. Yeah, that's a interesting roster. That roster is completely different. And I think that they're going to be successful. I mean, they definitely added some defense with the guys like Larry Nance. Jordan Clarkson definitely does play a little bit, as well as George Hill, who they're hoping that George Hill will have sort of a revival after being a little bit of trash in Sacramento. I think it was more of a disengaged thing, which you can argue here nor there whether that's a good thing that Hill gets rewarded for that play. Hood definitely has some injuries. Clarkson has dealt with some injuries. So has Larry Nance. But Larry Nance definitely adds athleticism to this team and adds some excitement, and a guy who can run with LeBron on the break. Clarkson, Hood are bucket scorers. You do wonder about their lack of postseason experience. Hood, I think, played a little bit with the Jazz, but that's about it. They don't have much. And George Hill obviously does with his experience with San Antonio, but they don't have a ton of experience on this court. So I think the starting lineup, if you were to say what is that going to look like, I think it's going to be a lineup without sans Kevin Love right now. George Hill at point guard, shooting guard JR, small forward LeBron, power forward Larry Nance, center Tristan Thompson, Jordan Clarkson, Rodney Hood first off the bench. I do think you could interchange Hood and Clarkson for JR's spot. I know that JR has been starting. It depends, I think, where JR wants to play. JR is kind of the I wouldn't say the odd man out, but he's the guy that sort of you could move around with some of these new pieces now. So I definitely could see the idea that Cleveland gets back to the NBA Finals with this roster. It's just a question of, are these young guys going to be playoff ready? Are they going to be prepared for the playoff hunt? And we'll see, you know, on Sunday they play the Celtics, and that was the famous Isaiah Thomas game with all the drama about the tribute video. We'll get to Isaiah Thomas in a second here. It'll get our first kind of look at the Cavs, and I think the media will overreact. Everyone will be like, oh my God, this Cavs team doesn't look good. They haven't gelled yet. This is going to be so bad. It's way too early. You have to at least give it 10 days before anything of that nature. That has to be a 10-day buffer or 10-game buffer before anything like that happens. Dwayne Wade gets sent back to Miami. He'll be facing the Bucks tonight. The Vation should be huge. I don't know if that helps the Heat that much. I mean, I like the idea of Wade back there, but it feels very self-serving. He'll add an element, but I don't know what exactly Dwayne Wade brings to the table. That Heat team definitely could use scoring at times, and they've been struggling of late, so maybe that leadership will help out, work with some of those guys. Who knows if they're happy or sad to have Wade back. Wade has not, I don't think, endeared himself to teammates, in the popular words. See, sometimes this happens. We just start using the same word over and over again. But yes, I don't know if Wade's been the best of teammates. I know that he's beloved in the city, so we'll see if that's going to occur. Other deals that were done, I thought the Bulls getting Noah Vonleh was sneaky. I mean, he's 22 years old. He has a lot of athleticism. The guy's kind of a foul machine at this point. But it's very interesting for the Bulls to sort of keep getting these young assets and seeing what they do with them. And I think Vonleh is definitely worth a look for Chicago, and we'll see. I mean, the Bulls keep trying to build this young roster, and they're doing a pretty good job of it. I'm surprised maybe they couldn't move Bobby Portis. I think maybe Bobby's part of the future. I've asked my Bulls fan roommate whether that's true, and he's kind of said yes. So that's probably why we saw no Portis moving, but that wasn't bad. Same goes with the Suns getting Alfred Payton, and on a set, you know, second round pick, they get some point guard depth. They've definitely lacked it recently, and they really haven't had Tyler Ulis. I don't think it's the answer at point guard. I think he doesn't do enough. And now you get a guy who's assist first and who's just going to look for Devin Booker for threes all time when Devin Booker is back to being healthy. Knicks getting Emmanuel Mudiay hasn't panned out in the NBA. A lot of Knicks fans wanted New York to draft him actually instead of Porzingis, which is a wild thought, all things considered. And now they get both of them. Porzingis obviously out for the year with a ACL injury. I think it was more surprising about the moves that didn't happen, with no Tyreek Evans moving, no DeAndre Jordan, no Avery Bradley, all of them not getting dealt, more so Evans and Jordan. I think it's really changed the game. It's like, you're going to trade expiring guys, it's kind of like how baseball is now, where you're not going to get a ton. You're not going to get a ton. And it's a word to the wise where if you really want to get the optimal value for a guy you may trade, you have to deal him a year and a half out. And maybe you can get a desperation trade out of the mix, but it doesn't happen. Desperation trades aren't really happening in the NBA. I mean, even what the Cavs did, which to some could look like desperation, it was actually pretty well thought out, and they sort of have this vision of where this is going. So, and then to wrap it up, and this is part of our fake tough guy segment that we do each week, Isaiah Thomas getting that fake tough guy. I won't say he's a shadow gangster like Zach Randolph, but Isaiah Thomas is a classic short guy. We've talked on the podcast before about how short guys are the worst, especially at things like bars and how they try to just puff out their chest and act all tough. Isaiah Thomas came in with a short guy attitude, trying to be the alpha male on a LeBron James-led basketball team, and it just never worked. He never could do it. He never just fit in. And I know that we give LeBron a lot of shit for sometimes being a little over the top, being a little dramatic, but LeBron was completely right with Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah acted like a complete dick, and he just never accepted his role. He never accepted being part of the team. And this is where it left him. He gets shipped to Los Angeles. He gets shipped to a third team. He's going to be a backup point guard for Lonzo Ball. He's going to be very unhappy there. And I know that there's some talk he may get even bought out. And because Lakers aren't giving his deal back. And yes, it does help the Lakers potentially sign LeBron by trading him there. I think Kobe Altman knew he was doing that. I think he said, well, we're still going to have a chance. And if we have a chance at signing LeBron, this gives us our best opportunity to win a title. If we win a title and LeBron still bolts, then so be it. I guess we still have a championship. We still have two rings, and that's okay. So, yes, Isaiah Thomas winning that fake tough guy of the week. Good for you, Mighty Mouse. What to watch this weekend? No NFL first weekend without football. How are you going to scratch the itch? Well, good news is there's a lot of sports on. So definitely not a weekend to ignore the sports on the TV. You get two Bucks games. Bucks are at Miami tonight, and then they are at Orlando tomorrow. You'd love to see a split out of that. I don't think you would want to see them drop both of those with four games left in the All-Star break. They're seven games over 500. I think if they go 2-2, everything is groovy. Other NBA games worth watching. Big night tonight, actually, on ESPN. Sort of former players meeting up with former teams. Clippers Pistons. Blake versus his old mates already. That should be quite awkward. And then you got the Timberwolves and Bulls. Jimmy Butler and Tom Thibodeau return to the United Center. Should be an interesting atmosphere there. And then over the weekend, Spurs Warriors, which I don't have that much excitement for, just because the Spurs are a shell of themselves, and I don't go out of my way to watch the Spurs. If they're on, it's great, but it's not some right now without Kawhi. I don't really care. Cavs Celtics, as we mentioned, another worthwhile game. In golf, you have Pebble Beach, always a good time, always good with the celebrities. I'm sure Bill Murray will do something wacky, and it'll be this content thing, and we just love Bill Murray, and you have to do it, and he'll dress weird, and he'll talk about the Cubs, and just be Bill Murray. But yes, the tournament should be pretty good itself. A lot of names, hopefully, there around the leaderboard: Rory McIlroy, Dustin Johnson, Jordan Spieth, Jason Day, all in the mix. Then for college basketball is loaded this week. Locally, you have Marquette St. John's. Marquette trying to beat the Johnnies, who are on a two-game winning streak of beating Duke and Villanova of all teams. And then Wisconsin plays at home to Michigan. This is the game Wolverines cannot lose. Badgers are coming off a win against Illinois on Thursday night. And then looking at the slate, it's pretty good. It's a good slate. I definitely think it's a worthwhile weekend to get yourself invested into college basketball again. You have Purdue, Michigan State, great game. You have Butler, Villanova, Xavier, Creighton. If you're a Marquette fan, looking at that bubble, Auburn versus Georgia, Virginia Tech, Virginia, Texas Tech, Kansas State are all sort of that bubble game. All those games kind of matter from the bubble perspective, if you're looking at it that way. Kentucky, Texas A&M is another bubble game for Marquette, if you are a fan. Then we have Gonzaga, St. Mary's, the classic rivalry in the WCC, USC and Arizona to wrap up the night. So that's a pretty good slate. You know, I think some of this is my Marquette fandom with a few of those games. But, yeah, Butler, Villanova, and Xavier Creighton is a good doubleheader of Big East games. And then Sunday, nothing really. I do want to call out, do you guys know that Cincinnati is 11-0 and 22-2 overall and sixth in the nation? Like, what, are they the most quiet team in basketball? I don't remember anyone really talking about Cincinnati this year. It's kind of amazing, but are they going to be a 2 or 3 seed? Is there a chance we could get a 1 seed back to the days of Kenyon Martin and Danny Fortson to have a number 1 seed Cincinnati? I wish they were hateable. I don't, you know, Marquette and Cincinnati had a great rivalry throughout the years, and they were assholes. But that is another story for another time as we have ran out. I will talk to you guys probably early. I don't know. I was trying to decide if I want to do the podcast before the Marquette game or after the Marquette game. I think I'm going to do it before. Hopefully I'm not snowed in. And we shall see you tomorrow. Stay safe if you're in the local Milwaukee area with all the snow happening. And we will talk tomorrow. Take care, Tappers. Have a good Friday. See ya.